Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
I'm going to give you all three quick principles about parenting today. Now, you may say, well, I'm not a parent. Well, maybe you're not a parent yet. Or you may be able to use these principles in other aspects of your lives. I want to start off with a video that I thought was hilarious, but very real, about what new parents can be like, especially when they have their first child. Let's go ahead and go to that next slide.
So he's 15 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So we have been trying this thing where we have him sleep hanging from his feet. So right now we have him sleeping all day. It's supposed to trigger more productivity as they get older. Yes, we don't do diapers. We take him outside. It's supposed to be liberating to let them know that this is kind of how people started, was just being outside and using the resources there. Yep, just like a dog. So we do talk Spanish to him for an hour a day, every day. Oh, en español, por favor. Oh, you took German in high school? Oh, yeah, well. Yes, we read this article in one of the Facebook groups that their spit up actually is really nutritious for them. You know, repackage it, give it back to him. The nutrients that he's getting rid of actually go in, and then they have a more of an impact once he's regurgitated it out and put it back in. We actually don't ever address him by his name. Studies have shown that if you don't do that, then they'll be able to form a more sense of independence and individuality. And so we do run into some issues, you know, with my parents. They think they know everything and how to do it, right? But, you know, we're the parents. You guys did have five kids. You raised them all to be healthy, successful individuals. But, you know, that was when, you know, the first George Bush was president.
I want to confess, I've been there, especially millennial parents. We've been there. I like the part here. Studies show. We just know, we know. We go on Google. We find the studies that we want to find about how to raise our children. And yeah, you did your thing back in the day, but, you know, we have new technology now. I thought we could relate to that. Now, my question to you is this. What type of parenting have you experienced? Now, I was going to say, what type of parent are you? But I know you're not going to tell on yourselves like that. What type of parenting have you experienced? And you can even put more than one. Okay, I'll explain them to you if you don't know them. Tiger parents, all right? Tiger parenting, you expect first-time obedience, excellence in everything that your child does. And make sure that your child doesn't ever talk back. Or maybe you experience helicopter parenting. You know, they like to hover, right? You step in to prevent your toddler's every struggle. You're over-involved, or they were over-involved in your education. Frequently call your teacher. Always watching over you as a teenager, right? Bulldozer parents. See, bulldozer parenting is when you experience parenting that it tries to take all the obstacles out of their children's way. So if conflict comes up, you want to go in and save them from it. You want to solve the problem for them, or they tried to solve the problem for you, you know. What type of parenting have you experienced? Free range parenting. You believe your role is to trust your child, so you just make sure that they have the skills to stay safe, and then they can do whatever they want to do. You just create an environment of independence as they chart their own path in life. I ain't gonna tell them what they want. You know, I'm just gonna make sure they have the skills necessary to make their own decisions. Little Susie, what do you want today? Do you want carrots or would you like applesauce? Point to the one you want, little Johnny. Or gentle parenting. Gentle parenting, you believe that your child's earliest attachment to caregivers informs all subsequent attachments as a person and their as attachments that a person experiences. So this argument suggests that the most important thing is the strong emotional and safe physical attachments. Now, these aren't, these would be the folks that say you don't spank your children. You know, you got to make sure they feel loved. Don't, no judgment. We want to be your happy place, as Brother Darius said. You know, no judgment, you know. But that emotional connection, physical connection is the most important thing. Now, these aren't the scientific topics. These are the pop culture ones. I was going to do the scientific ones, but I'm sorry. I know we got scientists. We wouldn't know nothing about that. Okay. We experienced tiger parenting. Oh, so we have some folks that have experienced, you know, kind of the, hey, you got to get this done. Be your very best by all means necessary. I see. And don't talk back. Why do I got this? Because I said so. Helicopter parenting is up there. The hovering, that happens a lot today. I work with young adults who, I don't know how much I should say, but you're probably being tracked on your iPhone right now, even though you're 25. you know, I grew up in an era of talk shows. Maury Povich, Ricky Lake, Jerry Springer. And so in this era of talk shows, what would happen is like it's kind of like before reality TV, because for the first time, like, people would come on stage and tell all their business. And I don't know about you, if you remember the shows when them kids would come on, they're talking about their parents. And all the trauma that they faced and all the issues that they have because they were in dysfunctional families, and so therefore they're going through this and going through that, and you're hearing this, and as a kid I'm hearing this, and I don't know, like, something inside of me happened that prepared me for parenting. And I think what happened was I started to have a fear that I did not want to be the topic of my child's therapy session. And so I still go through life as we go through situations with my 11 and 7-year-old, and I, after a time of conflict or even some good, whatever it may be, and I'm like, I wonder if that's the moment they're going to be talking about when they get, or they start seeking after God and studying the Bible and things come up about their relationship with their parents. I wonder if they're going to be talking about that. In all reality, there can be a consistent undertone of anxiety and fear as parents. Because most of us really want to do the best we can do to present our children to the Lord and make sure that they grow up with as much as possible, everything they need, right, to be great citizens and great Christians. And so it could be tough. And what I've had to do is I've had to go back to one of our guiding principles, which is this. Parenting is not about preference, it's about pleasing God. Parenting is not about preference, it's about pleasing God. That's my first point. You know, there's so many resources out there. There's too much information, right? Where everybody is an expert at something or at everything, right? And so it blows my mind that I can look up the most specific things and it will come up. Somebody wrote an article about it. Now, I don't know who, you know, that person is. Don't know nothing about their lives, their education, but I found it and it sounds good. But what happens when we hear all these different preferences, it confuses us. Like, what should I hold on to? What should I let go of? There's so many philosophies and strategies, so much advice. And really, most of the time, we will go towards the things that we like, the things that sound good to us, our preferences. Our preferences may come as a result of trends. That's just the way it is. There's just different parenting trends, right? It can come as a result of data, studies show, right? And so that's what we use to tell our parents that they were wrong. You know, our kid actually does need a car seat and wipes that are warm. Data shows. It can come from just our personalities, right? If we're freer, we can go through that free-range parenting. If we're more strict, I mean, it's just, we could just do things the way that we like and we wanted it to be done for us. And that's most of what our preferences become. It comes back to what we experienced. Either we embraced how our parents raised us, or we buck against it. And sometimes you got one parent that embraces it, other parent that's bucking against it, right? And so many times we base our decisions based on, well, I don't want to be like that. And so we swing to the other pendulum and say, other side of the pendulum and say, we're going to be like this instead. If we didn't like spankings, we're going to reason with our children, no matter how old they are, whether or not they can even understand a word we're saying. If we didn't get enough attention, then we're going to make sure our kids are the center of our attention. And we have families where the whole family revolves around the child. The child sets the schedule. The child sets what they're going to eat. The child sets who they're going to be friends with, right? What else? Well, we didn't like being dragged to church. So we're going to go ahead and make sure we don't force religion on our children. We're going to let them make their own decisions. Not realizing that Satan doesn't let them make their own decisions. It's not like Satan's like, you know what, whatever you want to do. If you want to follow God, go ahead and follow God. If you want to follow me in the world, that's your choice. And then we hold back on the training that it is needed to prepare our children to really love God and ultimately make it to heaven. Because that's ultimately our biggest responsibility, is do the best that we can to prepare our children to be with God for eternity. So what pleases God? You know, you say, oh, it's not about preference. What pleases God? Well, what pleases God is love. We can start there. Well, I do love my children, Angel. What? That's why I'm doing the things that I'm doing. That's why I'm making the sacrifices I'm making. Yeah, but do we love God more than our children? Are decisions based more on loving our children or our love for God? Because Jesus says, if you got to hate your mother and father, brother and sister, wife and children, you got to love Jesus more than anybody else. So who do we love more? Well, what does it mean to love? Because once we follow God who is love, well, are we willing to live by his definition of love? 1 Corinthians 13:4. You can go to that slide. Love is patient. We can stop there. Whew. If you want to grow in your patience, have some children. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. Ooh, can we love our children without being easily angered? It keeps no record of wrongs. Can we let go? Children can hurt our feelings. I've been hurt, like for real, hurt. Can we let that go? Can we forgive? Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. So when we have a decision to make, let's err on the side of love. And really what we need to show our children is how to love God. That's more important than the grades they get, what hobbies they're good at, what sports they're going to play, what scholarships they're going to get, right? Man, can they see it in our lives that we love God? You know, my mom was not the perfect parent. One thing I can say, we've always known we were loved. Through good, bad, ugly, hard times, we always knew we were loved. And that made up for the times that she fell short as a parent. 1 John 4:18, perfect love drives out fear. So that love, as we strive to love God, to drive out that anxiety. Why do I say that? Listen, at the end of the day, we can't control another human being. You can't do it. Your child is another human being. As much as we will do our part, I've seen great parents and horrible kids that turn out to be horrible adults. And you look at them like, those are your parents? I've seen horrible parents that have great kids. Amazing kids. I tell the boys at Morehouse whose dads are not in their lives, and I'm like, he's missing out. Because you're amazing. I would love to have you as a son. So you can't control what happens with this other child, other person. But what we can't control is that fact that we just are trying to please God. And at the end of the day, our conscience can be clear that we did our part. Number two, parenting thrives in partnership. Parenting thrives in partnership. Why? Well, what happens then is children flourish in community, right? In healthy community. And healthy community starts with both parents striving to love God and striving to love one another. A love that leads to unity in our parenting. Listen, there can be so much unresolved conflict about how to discipline our children. As young children, they get 18 months old, 2 years, 3 years, you're trying to train them, or as teenagers. But guess what? It doesn't stop. There's so many decisions to make when it comes to our children and what we're going to let them do, what we're not going to let them do, who we're going to let them hang out with, who they're not going to hang out with, how they're going to dress, what they're going to eat. All that stuff, what their priorities are going to be. There's so many things. And if there's a constant wave of unresolved conflict in your parenting, in your partnership, then that's going to have a negative effect on our children. Because really, I'm going to say this. Some of us who are married or in a committed relationship, we parent like we wish we were single. What do I mean by that? We don't value the other person's perspective. We want things done our way. The way we grew up was the right way, or the way we grew up was the wrong way. So we ain't doing that even though it worked for you. Proverbs 18:2. Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. Why did I put this GIF up there? Because for any parenting decision, that's how some of us show up. We're ready to go at it. I'm ready. Listen, I'm ready to throw hair. What you got for me today? No, we ain't doing that. See, I knew you were gonna say that. And I'm gonna tell you, me and Christina, we've had our share of conflict around parenting. Man, I still remember one time, I can't even remember exactly what we were fighting about. But we left a basketball game, I think, and it was something that I wanted to share some things about the basketball game. And Christina started sharing what she wanted to share, and she didn't give me a chance. Sports are my thing. I want to be able to share some stuff. If I can remember correctly, we go to Chick-fil-A, we start arguing. You know that quiet arguing in public? They're in the playground. We're arguing. We're going in. Da, 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 da. Yeah, but what about? Then one of the kids comes up to the table. Hey, how you doing? Good. Yeah, go on in there and play again. But what I was seeing was there you go. You should have told me. It happens. We got to be able to see different approaches, different perspectives. We got to work it out. We got to listen to each other. We got to seek understanding. There's a reason why they have their perspective and you have yours. So I want us to remember this. Your unity is more important than getting your way. Your unity is more important than getting your way. And I'm going to say this for those of you who are single parents as well. I want you to know, you're not alone. You know, hopefully the other parent wants to be a parent. That's the hope. If the other parent wants to be a parent, then it's your job to do your best to work it out. Angel, you don't know, you've been married 17 years. You got a wife. Y'all been parenting together the whole time. My mom was a single mom. I had to see her work through her issues with our dads. And I had to see her fight within herself, right, to keep that relationship going for our benefit. Some of us are holding on to grudges. We don't want to let go, and our children are suffering from it. Some of us have parents that want to be. I'm not talking about deadbeat parents. They're just gone. You can't force nobody to do that. I'm talking about parents that want to be involved or are learning to be involved. It's on us to make it work. Make it work. If the other parent does not want to be a parent, you're still not alone. That's why we're here. Well, that's why we want to help. You know, I'm grateful for all the father figures I've had in this church since I've been a Christian, in God's church. That's how I learned to be a father, is from the church. Then later on, my mom married my stepdad, and Coach Bird's excellent father, and man, he's thinking about us. Hey, I got steaks for when y'all come back down. And I'm like, wow. Okay, now I get to see it. But you're not alone. No matter where you are in your life as a parent, you're not alone. We are here for you. And my last point is this. You're doing great. You're doing great. I know it doesn't feel like it. I know you don't hear it enough. And the truth is, we don't say that enough. You're doing a great job. You love your children. You're doing the best that you can. Many of you have been parenting through a pandemic. And your children are still here. You know, you're still making it, right? You're doing great. Let's clap it up for our parents. Let's encourage each other. You're doing a great. It is such an insecurity for parents. Like, are we doing the right thing? Are we making the right decisions? Am I doing enough? And sometimes we just need to hear, you're doing great. You're doing great. I want to lift up the dads. I want to lift up the dads. I'll be honest with you, in my experience, and let me tell you, I have friends and I interact with dads from the hood to the suburbs. Most of the men that I know that are parents are striving to be great dads. Most of them are striving to be great dads. That wasn't always the case. We were at the Georgia Aquarium not too long ago, and they have all these field trips, you know, with little kids. And I'm seeing dads as chaperones. I'm like, you know what? This is amazing. This is amazing. Dads who are stepping up. And I'm so grateful because we have some amazing examples here in this church. You know, dads that are making it to church with their children. Look at all the men in here. Look at all the dads in here. You know, like, that's amazing. Dad, stand up. If you're a father, go ahead and stand up. Dad, stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Get this love. Future dad, stand up. You're about to be a dad. Stand up. I'm talking about get this love because it doesn't always feel that way, okay? Get this love. Parents, people may not see it. They may be more critical than they are encouraging. Your children may not appreciate it. So if you're not a parent or not a parent yet, your challenge for today is just to make sure your parents feel appreciated. Okay. Come on, parents. I thought you could do better than that. Come on. Don't you? Encourage them. People may not see it. Children may not appreciate it, but God does. God does. God sees your silent sacrifices. He appreciates all the ways you strive to be your best. And I want to do one more stand-up thing because I think this is important too. If you are a parent of an adult children, if you have raised adult children, moms and dads, if you've raised adult children, go ahead and stand up. If you've raised adult children. Look at this. Stay standing. Y'all look up there to the balcony. They have done their job. I know they didn't stop at 18. But if you raise adult children, you deserve a round of applause. You deserve honor. And I'm doing this because I want the young parents to see. Stand up. Stay up. Let the young parents look around. You're not alone. You don't have to figure it out on your own. Thank you, parents, for raising us adult children. You know, God can relate. God can relate. Why? Because He is a good, good Father. And you know, the truth is that God understands. God understands. And He had to make a sacrifice. He had to sacrifice His only Son for all the rest of His other children, all of us, so that we can have a relationship with Him. That's how much God loves us. So at this time, we're going to take communion. We're going to celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And as we do that, I just want us to think about the sacrifice that God the Father made to love us. And then just take a moment just to thank Him for the blessings and the miracles that we get to see in all these little babies and children, and even all of our adult children that God has blessed us with. If you have not received a communion cup, please raise your hand, and the host team will make sure that you get a communion packet. I will pray for us, and then we'll take communion together. Let's pray. Father, thank You for being a good, good Father, the best Father. Thank You for showing us what we should be like. Thank You for loving us in a way that we can strive to imitate, setting the example for us. Thank You for the sacrifice You made to allow Jesus, Your one and only Son, to die, be buried, and be resurrected. God, thank You so much. Thank You for all the blessings and miracles that every single life is. And Father, I do want to say a special prayer right now for those of us who may have lost children, for those of us who may have had miscarriages. Father, we know that this topic can be very difficult, can be very challenging emotionally on us, Father. And so I pray right now for You to comfort those of us who have gone through that, God, that You will give us peace. And Father, that we will get to a place where we can entrust those we have lost to You, Father. God, we love You. We thank You. We pray for this time that we may be able to commune with You and with one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.